you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Recording in progress.
Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am. Yes, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening to this live on podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton. Well, we are here for all of your mental health, love, relationship, family, and community needs. For those that would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. That's B, the number 2, B, P-S-Y-C-H, at Gmail, b2bpsych@gmail.com. Again, as we always say, we'd like to thank Marshall University as well as WMUL for giving us this platform to talk about mental health issues, community issues, family issues, and everything else in between. But as we always say, any of the comments, suggestions, ideas, or perspectives that are not represented by Marshall University or WMUL are not represented by any of their supporters, affiliates, or sponsors. But these are the sole perspectives, ideas, and opinions of myself, Dr. Keelan Hinton, as well as Dr. Nate Chapman. So as we always say, take this advice at your own risk. And while some of this may be therapeutic, as Dr. Chapman loves to remind us, this is not what, sir?
It's not a therapy session. We do hope, in general, that you find things therapeutic. I don't know if today is going to be that day. But generally, every other day, it might be that type of day. Also want to remind you, as Dr. Hinton was mentioning, if you want to reach out, you can also find us on social media. So Facebook, Keelan Hinton by name, or Nathaniel Chapman by name, and you can also get to us that way if you have some ideas or you want to, you know, kick it about the show.
Yes. So again, we'd like to continue to, we'd like to thank those who continue to support the show. Please continue to send us ideas, suggestions, perspectives for guests, panelists, books you'd like for us to review, anything else in between. Please, by all means, keep the suggestions coming, but we thank your support. So how is sunny California treating you, sir?
It's good, man. It's good.
Good deal. Good deal. Things are warming up here. Everybody's getting out more. The brighter it gets, the warmer it gets. We see people's mental health picking up. So all is well. All is well in the neighborhood. So let's rock and roll. We a couple of topics we want to talk about. Ultimately, I know that we posted that we talk about the core topic would probably be we would talk about Mr. Kevin Samuels. We would probably tell you a lot of there's a gentleman who went viral for his perspective on relationships, and he particularly focused on men. About Kevin Samuels, his legacy, or if we want to call it a legacy. And most importantly, we want to discuss and talk about, is there a space for men to air their concerns, ideas, and emotions as it relates to relationships? But before we start there, Dr. Chapman's going to kick us off. What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear what your thoughts were on the Michael B. Jordan, Lori Harvey situation. For the listeners who don't know, if for some reason you're not like me, you don't have a feed that this is all that people are talking about. Michael B. Jordan is an actor. He was a Killmonger in Black Panther. And Lori Harvey is Steve Harvey's daughter. So they've been dating for about a year and a half, and you know, celebrity kind of a dating situation. He is 10 years her senior, he's 35, she's 25. From what I've seen, you know, they broke up, and from what I see reported, basically he wanted to get more serious. He had matured, has been maturing, and wanted to move towards something more long term. And she wanted to, she didn't want to. She basically wanted to, you know, live her life. And so they broke up. And I've just been, there's been a lot of different buzz, a lot of different opinions on my time feed. So I just wondered what your thoughts are, if you're familiar with it, what your thoughts are on this situation.
That's interesting. I hadn't really thought a lot about it. I just think that it was kind of something that was fleeting for me. It made sense. It makes complete sense to me. I'll give you an example. When I was doing Love Lines, I would get quite a few emails from older men that were dating younger women. And that's not to say that Michael B. Jordan at 35 is an old man, but he's older. And I would always get questions about, I remember one specifically, this guy's 40 and he's dating like a 23-year-old or something. And the question was, I'm providing protection. I'm providing for her. She doesn't have to work, but she still wants to hang with her friends. I think she's messing around. What more do I need to do? Why am I not enough? Why is this not enough? And he ended it by saying, why won't she act right? And my response to him was, you have lived a life and she hasn't. Like, you've gone through your 20s, you've done your running around, you've had your fun, and now you're ready to settle down, and she's 20, I think she was 23 or something like that. She's 23 years old, and she hadn't lived the life. So it's, I think it's, you know, for some people, it's more than just, I'm being provided and protected, let me fall in line, like she's allowed to want to live and have these experiences and grow and evolve. And I think that the issue, when you're older dating someone younger, I think that what the older person needs to understand is that that person is going to change. Like when we talk about identity development, people typically don't report sort of finding themselves somewhere early 30s. You know, the reason that so many marriages end in divorce, people get married at 25, they wake up 7 years later at 32, and they're not the same person. You're not the same person at 32 as you was at 25. You're not the same person at 25 as you was at 21. You're not even the same person at 21 as you was at 18. So it's like, typically from our teens up until our 30s, people are growing and evolving and finding themselves. And I think that that's something that if you're an older person dating someone much younger than you in their early to mid-20s, you have to understand that that person is still growing, still evolving, and they want to have experiences the same way, the same experiences that you got to have. So I get it. It wasn't necessary. I didn't know she was that young, but I knew she was younger. And that makes sense to me. He's 35. He's in his mid-30s. She's in her mid-20s. She's barely in her mid-20s. She hasn't lived yet. So she wants to continue to live and have experiences. And when she's ready, she will. So that's pretty much kind of sort of what I thought about it. That was just like, it was, but it was fleeting for me. Like, it just kind of made sense. I knew she was way younger than him. I didn't know that she was like barely in her 20s. So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting because in my timeline, I got a range of different ages in my timeline. I think because I have a good number of former students in my timeline, so maybe they're right around that age frame or something. So one of the things that I was seeing in the timeline, then I'll give you my thought. There's two sides of it. There's a side that is like very upset at Lori about this situation, and basically, and this is primarily coming from dudes, and it's basically like, you know, he was a good dude and doing the right things and ready to wife her, and basically she did him wrong because she led him on. I'm not saying that she did any of these things. I'm just giving you, like, you know, what I'm seeing. When she led him on and she really only wanted to have fun, it was a waste of his time, that type of thing. And the other side I see, like, you know, what you're saying, basically, let her live. Why is it this is basically two-sided? If she were a dude, then we wouldn't even be mad at it. And so when I think about it, I think it gets into, you know, what I'm hoping we'll get to eventually is start to talk about dating. Like, it gets into a lot of things. I mean, there's the age thing, of course. I mean, I think that age, 25 and 35, I mean, to me, there can be, I mean, the age gap to different people is going to have different opinions on it. And I think it depends on when you hit that age gap. You know, so I'm 42. The youngest I've dated around this age would be like somebody who's 32, which I'm okay with it. I ain't got no problem with it. You know, as long as you've got your stuff together or whatever, other people may have a problem with it. But that, when you're younger than 30, though, there are going to be some things you're probably going through in life. And to be mad at her, even if she wasn't 25, actually, it doesn't matter how old she was, because I think to assume that, oh, because say if it was reverse, what if she was ready? Some girls are, women are at that age, ready to marry, and he wasn't. Even though he's 35, and somebody say it's got to be age, you've got to be ready to marry. Isn't there a reason you date? Here's my main thing. There's a reason you date, right? You date to figure out if you want to be with this person forever. Until you decide you want to be with that person forever, and even in some cases afterwards, then you can decide not to be with them. And that's what dating is. So if at some point they had a conversation and he says he wants to go this way, she says she wants to go another way, and they break up, I think this is what's so hard about breakups for most people, whether it's Michael B. Jordan or the regular person, is that breakups just mean we've decided, could be a lot more complex than that, but for whatever reason, it's not going to work out. And that's why you're dating, to see if it's going to work out. I think what happens is sometimes when people start dating, and I see this more so after people have been married, and then they get back out there in the dating world, they assume that, hey, you dating me now? Like, you're my it, you're my thing. Like, well, you know, we're dating. But that doesn't mean we're married. There is a difference between the two. And I just feel like the people that are on that side, besides not respecting the whole dating process and being mad at her about that, are mad about also maybe some hurts that they feel or getting burned from girls in other ways. But not respecting this dating process is part of it. Then the other thing it leads me to is like some of the things I've seen on my timeline that I agree with a bit. I'll save it because it fits more with the other dude we're going to talk about.
Go ahead and say it now. We in the moment.
So the other thing I think is interesting about this situation is that hopefully no love would be lost in this situation because you should respect the process of dating. I also think, and this is just my opinion, that there are times, it doesn't speak to Lori because I don't know Lori like that, where women really try to maximize what they think they can do at a younger age. I mean, it's just the way I see it. Y'all can be mad. This is the way
this is. This is Dr. Chapman speaking.
What I'm saying is, when women are younger, they feel like, oh man, I can get a whole bunch of different types of dudes. And as they get older, all of that cachet that they had, that availability, I think, declined. So these situations, she's 25 now. When she get 35, obviously, she's a celebrity. She got all these other things going on. And I'm not saying she's going to be, like, totally bad news. I'm just saying that the things that she's banking on now are not going to exist the same way at 35. And for him, he's going to be worth more at 35. I mean, at 45, in my opinion. I know some people don't like that opinion, but society, it's not me, y'all. It's society that puts a lot of value on how women look and how they maintain that.
Don't put it off on society.
Okay.
10 toes. Be 10 toes. Stand on it if you're going to say it. Nope. We're not going to let you slide. If it's yours, stand on it.
And the other thing is, when we think about, it's going to depend on each person in terms of value you bring to the relationship. But I think sometimes women are thinking that, well, if I have these looks, that's all I need. And it don't work like that for every guy.
That is a much deeper conversation we have to get into. And we'll probably get into it a little bit when we talk about Kevin Samuels. And that will definitely carry over into another day completely. You bring up a lot of valid points. I think that a woman's clock is different than a man's, for a lot of different reasons. You know, I always say that evolution is etched in our genes. So I think that the way women date is attached to their ability to have kids. You know, as women get older, I think that things, there is, and I don't mean to be disrespectful and speak for women. I wonder, is there a different sense of urgency when it comes to relationships and marriage for women because their biological clock is different from men? In that, you know, I'll be 45 this year and I'll be able to have kids when I'm 70, okay? But a woman, once you hit that 35 mark, having kids, that's when we sort of medically and biologically know, that's not saying it's impossible, but that's when we have to start to be careful in regards to having issues. So right. I think a lot of that also plays a part. But I do understand what you mean when we talk. We'll talk about that because that's something Kevin Sanyon talked about, a woman's worth. Like, quote, from a societal standpoint, a woman's worth. You know what I'm saying? Because a topic that I'm interested in is sort of, well, we'll talk about that. We'll get into that. I think you make good points about dating, but I also think that we can't talk about dating as a process loosely. Like, remember when you're, the whole point of dating, while you're dating, you're doing what? You're investing. You're investing physically, you're investing mentally, you're investing emotionally, and you're for damn sure you're investing financially. So it's like, when it's over, it's like, what kind of trip did this cat take her on? You know what I'm saying? They got pictures of them all in Greece and all wherever and all on a boat. And so when it's over, it's hard for any, and a lot of us ain't got that kind of money. You know what I'm saying? You just took your man some Funyuns and a sandwich at lunchtime. You know what I'm saying? Like, the gas, you think about the gas money that you spent. So it's like, it's not, when it's over, you know, it's hard to just look at, accept the process when you've invested. You was investing, trying to use invested money, physically, spiritually, emotionally. You invest in all these parts and pieces of yourself, and then it don't work out, and you got like, damn, that was a waste. You know what I'm saying? Which is a part, and which is a part of the reason why people stay in bad situations, because they don't want their time to have been a waste.
Right. I mean, it's why they stay in bad dating situations. It's why they stay in bad jobs. It's why they do a whole bunch of stuff that they, you know, can't get. Well, I spent all these years in it so far. You know, I think that I'm on the opposite side of this, because I think no time is wasted as long as you're going through a process. Now, I mean, you could argue about how much money you spent, how you was over here with this cat all the time, and like you wasted it for him a year and a half. But I mean, in the grand scheme of life, a year and a half ain't nothing, first of all. And secondly, you would have been growing in some other way if it hadn't been that year and a half. I know other people are like, I could have been with some other person. Maybe you would have, maybe you wouldn't have. The end of the day, you probably would have wanted a friend. So I'm saying, it's hard for me to say you just threw your time away. I think, one, that is the thing that just traps people, not only in relationships, but gets them into the next relationship quickly. That's a mistake.
I think it either gets them into the next relationship as a mistake, or they completely shut themselves down. This is not happening. They become a savage. They jump into the relationship quickly. Or, you know, I have a client who calls it monk status. She completely shuts herself off from everything and everybody and builds this wall. So I don't know. I could see how it's interesting, this idea of, you know, I've heard guys kind of go, what do women want? The cat is handsome. He one of the biggest stars in the world. He's handsome. It's kind of like Aisha Curry. They're like, man, what they want? The man make $300 million. He light-skinned. He tall. He handsome. He got muscles. He can play basketball. What do women want? Like, what? Like Michael B. Jordan, does it get any better than that? And they still ain't happy. Like, you're like, what do they want? What do they want? And I don't know, maybe that just proves that maybe women want something more than just providing and protection. Maybe it's more complicated than that.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, in this case, it's obviously a lot more nuances to it, because she's a celebrity, she has her own money, and more power to her and her ability to be independent. And I think what's just the thing that I want to highlight there is just giving her the right to choose. Just like if he would have left the relationship, he should have the right to choose. I think so many people get at the end of a relationship, even if it is longer than a year and a half, the anger is like, you know, we just talking about time. That's why it's like they're angry at you because of that. But it's like this, like, okay, let's say you was going to try something out and it wasn't about a relationship, a food, right? You're going to try food out. It might seem like an odd analogy. But anyway, you try food out. And then when you try that food out, you don't like it. Did you food? How would you have known you liked the food or not? The only way you could know is if you actually tried. Like, you would have to go through a process to figure out if that's going to work for you. How would you know?
You are so minimizing this. You are so... you are minimizing this. Look, you don't sleep with food, okay? You don't, like, the investments are so very different. You might eat that food and get food poisoning and have a stomach ache a couple of days later. But it's like, again, the issue is all of the investments. And men are like, what more do women want? He's faithful. He's handsome. He has money. He's investing in you. Why, woman, why wouldn't you want him? It's just like, at the end of the day, it's about investing. It's about all the money and time and effort and energy and sex and all of this stuff you're dumping into somebody and all the energy I put into thinking about you. Literally, I wonder what she's doing right now. Like, it's literally, people think about all of the energy that I have put into this and it didn't work out. It's kind of like you tried out for a basketball team and you didn't make it. I think about that entire year that I hooped for a whole year and worked on stuff and it didn't work out. It's okay to be, that disappointment is different when you've given so much. It's just like when you win, when you finally get something and you win, when you've put so much time, effort, and energy into it. Like when I defended my dissertation, I got in the car and cried because of all of the effort that I had put into getting it and it worked out. And I think it's the same way with disappointment, whether it's relationships or degree or whatever the case may be. I think that people are, I don't know, I don't want to say hung up, but the issue is when you invest, when we invest so much into something or someone, that's what, I think that is what, where the emotional responses are coming from.
Well, okay, all right, going back to this, using the basketball analogy, since we're, you know, during time of finals, like, so, you know, basketball has always been a part of my life, you know, played in high school, wanted to run. I remember when I was getting out of the military, I was at Kent State, and I've been playing with the boys on the team, and I thought, like, oh, this might be my opportunity to try back out. And I was, who knows if it would have worked out or not, but at that time, I happened to tear my ACL, and I had been working hard in the gym to try to get myself to be a certain level. And at that point, every possibility of a dream, of hoop dreams, had went down the drain. Now, granted, maybe I wasn't headed to the NBA anyways. I might not even got on the squad. But everything that I learned in my discipline to learn the sport are skills that I use and what I got today. Now, I couldn't think about that then. 26-year-old me could not think about any of those things. That's just hurt, disappointment, the physical pain of getting back. But the reality is that big setback, it set me up for a come up. Right. And I think that if people, well, not everyone, because people may go into their situations where they, you know, become a monk and never get in relationships again. But I think most people that really use a relationship as a process to evolve can look back, you know, it's like that movie where, what was it called, Lucky Chuck or something, like this guy, he dates a girl and after that, she ends up getting married. So it's like relationships, like anything else, the reason that if you start dating at a younger age is so you can learn how they go. I know some people stay with that one person. That's cool. But that's the point. This is how they go. Relationships, they work, and then you grow and you evolve, and people want to arrive without going through the growing and evolving. That includes relationships.
But I don't think that, this is my opinion, I don't think that that's why the everyday average person gets into relationships. They get into relationships for companionship and to find their one and only, their soulmate. And that's all they're thinking about. They're not thinking about using this as an opportunity to grow and evolve and learn. Those are things we think about because we're in our 40s and we have the luxury of, one, looking back. But two, what's most important is we have people in our lives that that's just the kind of stuff we talk about on a daily basis. Like, we speak about the life philosophically. And we're talking about the everyday average, the everyday average people out here listening to us. That's not to say we're better or worse.
Right, I agree and disagree with that. But, like, I think if no one gets into a relationship, obviously think about trying to grow. Well, hopefully, because you would want that person to add to you. But what I'm just saying, when the relationship is over, right, that's what we're talking about. The relationship has ended. Like, you probably get in a relationship thinking this is going to be your spouse. It has ended. You know, the anger you harbor is about how it could have been or it should have been when it's not.
That, or the anger you harbor a lot of times is, what did this clown do to me? When this person know that I was investing all of who I am into them, and they gonna go and do me dirty. And a lot of times when things end, well, not a lot of times, like, that would be something interesting to find out how many relationships end because something went terribly wrong and it's somebody's fault. Or how often do people say, you know what, we're trying this, we're not clicking, or we clicked when we was 21 and now we're 31, we're not good for each other, let's go our separate ways. Like, how many people are that have level of emotional intelligence and cognition to say, you know what, like, the average person, and I've done it too, man, we've been together 7 years, we finna make this work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want my time to have been a waste. I gotta try, because we're taught if you love somebody, you gotta try. We gotta try to make this work, and you just end up staying in a situation longer than you should. But, like, average people, like, you know, the everyday average person, they're not thinking about this kind of stuff. I don't think.
I guess, you know, it's to help the person who might be like Michael B. Jordan. You know, they had a meme of him or like a video where you saw him at a basketball game and brother was looking sad. He had that, like, oh, she just broke up with me. Look, you know, I've been there. I feel it. But so speaking to that person that's like kind of in this situation, like, it's, so let's just say, you know, when people get angry because it's like, I invested, it could be that that other person invested too. But during the process, they made a decision. So Lori said, you know what? Yeah, this is okay. You got to a point where you want to go, you want to get married. That's not for me. Then you angry at Lori because she's made a decision in this moment after going through that process, which she was fully invested in. I don't know if she was or not, y'all. But I'm just saying,
yeah.
I do think there's lots of situations where that is the case. And the anger that is harbored is not about somebody beating you or abusing you or any of those things. It's just that they didn't go with you on the same path. And that's the whole process. Even when, you know, people probably can relate to it better when they're early dating, like when you're dating a whole bunch of people and you have to deal with the person who ghosts you or doesn't get back to you or whatever. Like, oh, you know, you get sick. Well, that just person just not for you. It's like, you know, like, some people just click and some people don't. That might not be about you at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. That's it. I knew that. I was like, when I heard that she didn't want to get married and he did, I was like, yeah, I wonder if the age thing was a big deal. I mean, I understand the age thing. I could understand that, you know? And like you said, I mean, I agree with you. I think I do, being 45 and having had experiences, and I reflect differently now than I did when I was 30, when I was his age at 35 and even 25. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. It's all a part of the process. What's interesting is that is what I try to teach my kids, particularly my son. You know, if a relationship doesn't work out, you know, never burn bridges. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't work out. Maybe I was good for each other at 15, but now you're 35 or you're 25. Like, and, you know, look at it as a learning experience. What did I learn? How did I grow? Enjoy the moment, enjoy the experience, and learn how to take it for what it was and what it is and move forward with your life and look at it as a learning experience. You know what I'm saying? And when you have somebody teaching you that kind of stuff, hopefully you can deal with those situations better when you're having those, somebody trying to have those conversations with you at 19 and 20 and 21 and 22 and 25, you know, right, as opposed to having to go through all those pains and then learning it at 40 like I did.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, I have learned these things from experience, as you're saying. Like, I've went through my own experiences and handful of heartbreaks, and maybe I broke a couple hearts. I don't know. But but I, you know what I'm saying? I've learned some of these things along the way, and the way the perspective that you get through the experience of it, and then being able to come out on the other side, I think, you know, for the sake of Michael B. Jordan, like if he could, you know, grow through that pain, experience the pain that he's having, and then realize she had a choice. She made her choice. That might not so much be about me. Could be, who knows, but choice is made, and I'm gonna have some pain now, but I'm gonna move on, you know, and not be bitter, you know, only because yeah. that bitterness is, I've seen, I'm sure you've seen, and maybe even experienced it, I'm not immune to it. It just shows up in your next situation in some way if you,
yeah.
you hold on to it.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, hopefully the brother moves forward and moves on. And I wish her well as well. Like, it takes, it probably takes a lot, because at some point or another, he had to go, I'm really, really feeling you.
Yeah.
And she didn't feel that way. And the brave, and she really, like, this dude is handsome. He is everything anybody would want, but I have to be true to myself, and I have to be honest with him. Like kudos to her, because that's not easy, because a lot of women, or not a lot of women, a lot of people probably would have been like, evaluated, I'm not going to find a better man than this, this is the best, and then jumped into a situation, and she knew she wasn't ready. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah. I give her a lot of respect for being brave enough to not listen to it, because I know how, you know how homegirls be, girl, what's wrong with you?
Right.
I take him, get my number. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gonna get any better? What is wrong with you? Like, and to stay true to yourself is a dope thing. To yeah. be honest, and to have that emotional intelligence enough, to be emotionally intelligent enough to know, I am not ready.
Right.
And there are people who are listening right now who are married to somebody who they had to learn to grow to love that person, because when they got married, they wasn't ready. And they knew they wasn't ready on their wedding day and on their wedding night, and 6 months from then, they still knew that they were down. And they had to learn to accept the situation, or learn to love that person, or whatever the case may be. So to be able to pump the brakes and say, I've enjoyed our time, I care about you, but I don't want to get married. And if that means you got to move forward, and for him or whoever to have to make the decision to say, we want something different, maybe we need to chill out for a while, and maybe our paths will cross again. Even for him, it's just, it probably took a lot of emotional intelligence on both of their parts, you know, which I can appreciate. And it's just like, sometimes stuff just don't work out.
Sometimes it don't work out. You know? That's okay.
Yeah. So hopefully people listening, you know, something to think about. You know, are you, and we'll probably circle back to this when we talk about dating in the future, this idea of what, you know, maybe we'll expound a little more on this idea of being emotionally intelligent. This awareness that you, are you truly aware of what you're thinking and how you're feeling and what is driving what you're doing in your relationships, you know? Something to think about. Real quick before we shift gears, station identification is this WMUL 88.1 FM on your dial, Marshall University. This is Dr. Nate Chapman, Dr. Keelan Hinton, and this is Brother to Brother with another great edition again. And we're slowly creeping up into our series on relationships and dating. Dr. Chapman is going to give us some gems as we move forward, but we just got through talking about the Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan breakup. And now we're going to talk about the King. Just to get a few thoughts.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Rest in power. Mr. Kevin Samuels. And we'll talk a little bit about why was he such a divisive, I would like to know, at least Dr. Chapman's thoughts, and I'll give my thoughts as well, on why do you think he was such a divisive character in the media?
I think he was divisive because the way he went about delivering his messages, I think he came off as combative. That when he was delivering his messages, even though lots of girls would call to hear his, whatever his opinion is, I think he would have a way of berating people. It's like he had this is to me when I was watching him, this air of haughtiness. Like, I'm better than you, regardless of what's coming out of already messed it up. Like, the analogy I like to give people about how you communicate and what's important to remember is you could have good information. I'm not condoning saying this information is good or not, but if I were to ask you, you know, Keelan, I don't know, are you a coffee drinker? You drink like coffee or anything like that?
Yeah.
All right. So if I were to ask you, hey, you know, I got that Starbucks fire coffee. We're in person. I ask you if you want it. You'd probably say, yeah, because you like coffee. But I imagine you wouldn't be okay with me pouring it in your hand.
Correct.
No, because it's going to scorch your hand. Like the only way that that coffee is going to be good to you is within a cup. That cup is like the relationship. He didn't do good with the relationship part. He just spit scorching coffee at people. So that would be like my main thing with. And he seemed to be on a theme where his target appeared to be just black women.
His target was women. And I love it. Because there is, I would say this. I think his delivery was I think it was showmanship. Mm-hmm. I think it was a part of the circus. And it is the way that you sell tickets to the circus. Is this the greatest show on earth? Come get you some. I really believe. I mean, obviously, I don't know him personally, but sometimes some of it was so over the top that it's like this dude is selling a product. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of truth and a lot of good content in it. And I appreciated why so many people gravitated to it, because there aren't spaces like that. There are no spaces. There aren't any spaces for men, which is why so many people gravitate. I don't know if you heard of Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
It's why so many people, particularly men, an overwhelming percentage of Jordan Peterson's audience are men and are young men, because there are no spaces that men's emotions and ideas and perspectives can be heard, because we're providers and protectors and we ain't supposed to have those. So it's like we gravitate. Men are going to gravitate towards anybody that's a champion for our ideas and our perspectives, that says, hold on, let me give you a dude's perspective. There aren't a lot of spaces like that. Two, okay, this is what I believe. I honestly believe that he talked about women, and I think that you can't say that women do anything wrong. And I'll tell you why. I think it's hard to say that women do anything wrong, and I'll tell you why, particularly in a relationship setting. For the same reason, I once, in my race and culture class, I had a student say, it's hypocrisy. Why is it that, for the same reason that black people can make jokes about white people, but white people can't make jokes about black people? There's a power in differential. If you're a black person making a joke about a white person, in the grand scheme of things, from a societal perspective, you have no power. Those jokes mean nothing, because you have no control or power over anybody's life, culturally speaking, as a black person. As a white person, if you make a joke about black people, well, it feels mean-spirited to some degree, or it feels like it could be, or it feels like there could be a kernel of truth into it, because we, to some degree, we all understand there is a totem pole. There is a hierarchy of power. And when you're in power, it looks mean to be shooting down at someone who you have more power than in society. And then you lay on the Jim Crow and slavery and all that other kind of stuff we know too. It just looks mean-spirited. I think that to some degree, when you speak out against women, it looks mean-spirited because women don't have power. Men have power in our society. Women don't have power in our relationship. Men are physically stronger in a relationship. Men make more money in a relationship. Like, it looks as if men, like, I think that's so, that's, I do you understand those parallels? Like, I think it's a power thing. So anytime anybody, like, tries to talk about what women do wrong in relationships or what women do wrong generally, it's almost feels mean-spirited because women get used, women are more likely to be abused, and men have more power in society as well as in relationships, I think.
I hear that. I think there's that. And because of the way he did it, I mean, he's probably, it was for show. Apparently, he got him viewers and stuff. People know who he is. As many people as were happy that he passed away, he was known. I think the other element is because he's talking about black women and he's a black man.
No, agreed. No, definitely. I agree. I definitely think it's layered. I think it's because they were women, and then I think it was because they was black women as well. So I definitely agree. But just on its surface, I think to talk about everything that women are doing wrong in relationships and the relationships that they have that fail are partly their fault, like, it feels like you're blaming the victim. People are listening, saying all that women put up with, all the abuse that women put up with, all the junk that women put up for men and men's womanizing and cheating, whether they be black or white or whatever. And then you're going to come up here and you're going to tell me that it's my fault. You're going to tell me that I don't have a successful relationship because I'm choosing bad men and I don't have anything to bring to the table. How dare you? With all the abuse that we take. And he's like, no, that's what it is. Part of it is your fault. And like, that is a conversation that a lot of people aren't brave enough to have. A lot of people are not brave enough to say, women, a lot of these relationships that you get in and don't work out are your fault because you're choosing bad partners. That's your fault. That man was who he was when you met him, and you still chose him because you tried to clean him up and it didn't work, and now you want to cry foul. That's your fault. You made that bed, lay in it. That's a conversation that people just aren't brave enough to have, and he was. And I think that's why he took off.
I don't think most of the things I've listened to with him were on a specific theme. So I didn't really hear so much about him talking about you were in a relationship and it didn't work. The ones that I heard that I was just like, I don't know, they were like comic relief to hear him talking about were, and that was the theme. These were the ones I heard him have the most. The conversations were, okay, so you're in whatever situation you're in and you want a six-figure guy. Conversation would be about why you're not going to get one. And so those would be the ones that I heard the most, and maybe that's just because those would be the ones that come across my stream or whatever. But about those, I think some of the things that, so, you know, with when he's talking about this question about what you bring to the relationship and how it has to be, but like more than just what you look like.
Yeah,
I think that's a valid point. Like, regardless if you're looking for a six-figure person or not, like, you do need to bring something to the relationship. Now,
wait. And again, that is a conversation that nobody is brave enough to have. To look at a woman and say, "What more do you have than sex to offer? Really, what do you have that I can't, you know?" Because that's not how we're taught dating should go. I'm supposed to, you are the prize because you have sex and you can have kids, and I'm supposed to chase you. Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to prove myself to you as a man. But for a man to say, what can you do for me, completely goes against social norms. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that what do you bring to the relationship, you know, I think it is something you coined, this idea of partnership versus just like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And it could be different for each couple. But I think this belief, and I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying that some women I know have this mentality. And the mentality is, well, if I show up, that is all that's needed. What you talking about? What do I bring to the relationship? I bring me. Like, what else do I need to bring? Yeah. And the counter argument to that is like, well, he's bringing him, like, so, like, is it okay if he just brings himself and, like, no money and no nothing else? Oh, no, he need to bring the money, though. You know, like.
But, again, that goes back to traditional values that we never let go of. Like, some women believe, and again, for those listening, some believe that comes from evolution. He is the provider and the protector. and like men provided and protected, and women made houses. That goes all the way back to, like I said, a woman can be pregnant and throw a spear at an antelope. Like, he provided and protected, he brought it, like, everybody had a job. So it's like, I think that we kept those basic values as we've moved forward. Like, I am enough, because that has been a woman's role, is to make families and to make babies and to keep houses, traditionally. You know what I'm saying? And I think that forms a foundation of the idea and mentality. So when you ask a woman, well, how much money do you make? Like, that's not even supposed to be something within the sphere of what we're of a woman's, quote unquote, from a religious perspective, from a evolutionary perspective, men provide and protect. We still look at men crazy. If a man ain't got a job, you look at him like he crazy. If a man don't want to work, we look at him like he crazy. If a dude get beat up, you look at him like he weak. Like, so this notion of idea that we still somewhere etched in our genes and in the back of our head, it is a man's job to bring the bread and to provide and protect and show he can provide and protect if he wants a woman. I don't think we ever let go of those things. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the everyday average people.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think we ever let go of those things. So when you challenge, I think that when men challenge women in the way that he did, what more do you have to offer? Especially now, I think he was just being honest. And a lot of people just don't want to hear, people don't want to hear that they're just not as valuable as they were. You're 35, you got two kids, and now all of a sudden you're talking about you don't want to have, say, you want to wait to have all these dudes before you met me. Like, that is what, like, that realistically, that is what men are thinking. Like, why?
That's the truth. That is real. Like, I mean, people got to understand this is a man cave, and I definitely got a number of friends that have talked to me about that issue, right? And I'm not saying it should be one way or the other, but definitely, like, you know, hey, man, she's saying she walking the straight line now. You know, she 36 and got three kids, and we can't have no sex. And, like, I don't get it. Like, you know, you wasn't holding up for a little Ray Ray or Pookie or whatever. Now you're going to hold out for me. Like, I'm just, that's how men think about that particular situation. If you old enough, you got kids, you know, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but understanding that logic, or even, okay, so he would say some things like, you know, basically you like a liability now because you got this and you got that. We could think about that. Okay, women to some extent may not want to hear that, but think about a guy, right? So if this gentleman has lived and they have, you know, kids or other things and not really bringing economics or money in, you're going to consider them a liability, right? So and anybody who's smart in relationships, and probably hopefully you get smarter as you get older because you've made enough mistakes to think about what do I really value and what are you really going to bring to this partnership? And are you going to be an asset or liability? And yeah, and people might be thinking like, what? You're just looking at people as assets and liability? Well, if you look at and you study people that are successful, one of the things that make people more likely to be successful is the partner they have by their side. Mm-hmm. So if you are not real serious about who this person is that you're going to cleave to, then you're going to have some problems.
Yeah, agreed. Uh-oh. Having technical difficulties here. But again, there were very few, if any, spaces like his. And like you said, I believe all of the hoopla and hush your mouth, I think that's just a lot of times this is culturally how we talk to each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was nothing culturally out of the norm in how we get down and how we talk to each other sometimes. I don't think he really truly meant any harm. I think a lot of it was the show. We can't lose sight of that. He was a showman. A lot of it was the circus. I think the underlying heart of this issue was it was about he was making women feel like as you get older, the more kids you have and the older you get, your value, men look at that as your value goes down. Obviously, intrinsically as humans, we are all worthy. I'm not talking about your worth as a human, but that's just the truth. Some dudes don't want to date somebody that got a lot of kids.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you there. So, like, I've said this, you know, and then did it. Yeah, okay. So, it's, I guess it is my view. Like, basically, when we get older, if I'm talking to my son and I'm talking to my daughter, I'm going to have different approaches to how I approach this whole conversation. Talking about when you get older, thinking about your economic value, it's not, it doesn't mean that when a female has an economic value that she doesn't have value at all. But if they're kind of like in these traditional ways of thinking about it, the man is not going to be so concerned about that as much. They're going to be, they are going to be concerned about what you can contribute. But these other things that you are, you know, the kids that you have, how you look, which is going to be more likely that those things are better for you when you're younger, is going to make you high value. That's why the ones in my timeline I think are so upset about the Michael B situation are younger fellas. And they're younger fellas that have been getting, that have probably gotten dissed by the younger female, that as they get older, that's going to switch, in my opinion, because there's going to be more security. All those things that was, they were using to drive them when they were younger are going to have depleted a little bit, and they're not going to be as valuable in the eyes of these older males, that, you know, but one that was looking like a simp, once they get older, is not going to look so much like a simp anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I like that. Did you say, did Dr. Chapman say simp? we will have to have the Russell Wilson simp conversation as well. What makes you a, how did becoming a good guy, when did becoming a good man and a good clean cut guy become a slur? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's a really, really good question. And do women truly want a good guy? A good, nice guy.
That's definitely a conversation we should have.
Make sure you put a pin, write that down, put a pin in that. We'll have to talk about that at some point or another. But I again, it's a hard pill to swallow, and it would be interesting to hear how women feel about this idea, the idea that men feel like, you know, the idea that as you get older and you start to have kids, relation, we're talking specifically about relationship value, to some degree or another, for a lot of men changes.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to hear how some women will combat this. You'll see, I've seen memes and I've heard women say, well, it takes a real man to step up and be a father, or it takes a real man to step up and take care of somebody else's kids. And what I think is interesting is the extent to which a lot of women know masculinity means something to men. If you want to get a man to do something, tap into his masculinity. Challenge his ability. Challenge the notion of his masculinity, and is he a real man? That's how you get dudes to do stuff. That's how you. So it's like, it's interesting. It's interesting to hear something else before we leave. When I hear about older men dating younger women, we always hear older men, other older men say, good for him. You're 40 and you're dating a 25-year-old. I hear other older men say, good for him. I hear other older women say, that's gross. What's wrong with him? Is he a pervert? Why does he want a child? They don't have anything in common. Stay with me. I wonder, are younger women a threat to older women? Look, I'm not saying that. I'm just, again, for those that are listening, we thinking out of the box. But I'm thinking about, why is the response so very different when older men date younger women? We're not talking about somebody who's a child. We're talking about, if I'm 40 and she's 25 or 26, she's a grown woman. Why is it that, at least this is just anecdotally, my personal experiences, I always hear something negative from women than men. And it's always something like, it's always some hating going on. And I wonder if somewhere subconsciously they realize, I don't want to get traded. Like, what's the thing? Like, my husband was having sex with his younger secretary. I don't want to get traded in for a younger model. Like, somewhere, somewhere consciously or subconsciously, I wonder if women have been believed or made to believe that as they get older, their value drops.
Well, yeah, of course, they've been made to believe that. I mean, in some men's mind, that is true. I'm not saying all men, but some, yeah.
And that is something that Kevin Samuels beat on over and over and over again and wasn't nice about it and didn't try to dress it up. He was like, you too big, you too fat, you too old, and you got too many kids. Nobody's going to want you.
So, and, you know, for me, there's lots of things I didn't like about his delivery and the way he did it. And I know it was just a show and all that, but I felt it was, like, unnecessarily demeaning. But the conversations that I was hearing the most about the six-figure stuff, mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting because a couple clips that I saw, I would definitely classify those ones that were calling in as gold diggers. And that is breaking down this whole idea of you're asking for this, but you aren't bringing anything, I think speaks to the men that have been taken advantage of in some way, even if they're not a six-figure guy, you know. Girls will say, like, well, I bring the way I look, and you take care of me, and you do all these things for me, and they never really give any thought to what else you bring in or how else you are adding to this person.
And you know what? That is something that I have harped on for years, is that as men, we aren't taught that those things should matter, and they should. Like, we just aren't taught that those things should matter. And it is a part of the reason why we get in bad. I think men get. I've said this before. I'll say this again. I truly believe that one of the major reasons that men cheat. There are a lot of reasons why men cheat. Men like sex. One of the major reasons that men cheat is because we're taught that it is my job to prove myself to this person, and then they don't. It's not their job to prove that they. Because I'm the provider and I'm the protector. It is my job to prove that I'm good enough for her to lay down with and have sex with. It is my job to prove that I am the person that she should marry. It is my job to prove that I can provide and protect for her and for any kids that we have. And then a part of what happens is we spend our entire dating and our entire courting time proving ourselves. And then we finally get this person and we settle down and we find out they have nothing else to offer other than what they look like. And then now we feel stuck. Now, I can hear somebody yelling, well, that's his fault, that's his fault, that's his fault. Okay? I get that. Whose fault that is, you know, whose fault that is, I don't know. But I do know that it is I firmly believe you cannot shake me off this. I'll die on this hill. Men aren't truly taught what are the values that they should look for in a partner, not a wife. This person is, like we and you talked about, this person is going to be my partner. Look at her as a partner, a friend, and a partner, and not a wife that's going to fall into these roles. Because if it's a partner, they need to bring something of equal value or something that can equate to what I can bring. Now, if you make $100,000, maybe she don't bring $100,000, but...
It don't really have to be money, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying some people have this impression that just me bringing me is enough. So it might not have to be money. It could fit into those traditional roles, but if you're a traditional role person, are you doing those traditional roles?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to be the one doing those things? Because if you're not, then you're not bringing it.
And the thing is, women will always say, well, I make a house into a home. Stop. Just stop. That's so played out. Stop. You buy groceries, I make a meal. I could do that for myself.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, making this whole notion and this line that people pass around, I make a house into a home, I take groceries into a meal. Those are great means, but in reality, it's not enough. I can do that for myself. What can you give me that nobody else can give me? And the thing is that most women don't know enough about men to answer that question. Because I think that as a society, We don't teach women that they should learn about men in the same way. What does he really like? How does he really feel? What makes him cry? What makes him happy? What brings him joy? Like, those are the things that I think, I don't know, I'm not a woman, but I don't know if as a society we teach our women that those are the things that should matter. As a society, we teach men, we teach women, you are a flower. Do not let anybody deflower you. Okay? And men, this is how you open doors, you pull out chairs, you be a gentleman. You got to have a nice car and a nice house. You got to provide and you got to protect. You have to prepare yourself to provide and protect for this person. So we teach men, you have to prove yourself you are worthy. And girl, you find somebody that's worthy of what you, of who you are, whatever that is. And that's pretty much all we teach our young men and young women. And we do our men a disservice. And we do our women a disservice. You know what I'm saying? And I wonder if that plays a part in, do women develop themselves in the same way that men are taught to develop ourselves? And are our boys taught, you know, to consider all these other things? It matters how much money she makes. It matters if she's ambitious. We aren't taught those kind of things. So if all of it plays a part in how we all get in interesting relationships, stay in interesting relationships. So I think this will be a good series for those who are out there listening. Dr. Chapman is going to lead the way. We're going to do a relationship dating series. We'll start with dating tips, what goes wrong during the dating process, things you should consider when you're dating. When do you give up, and when do you just give up on it, and when do you figure out you're not on the right path? All those kinds of things. He's going to bring, like I said, we'll bring some jewels. He's got some good stuff prepared for you. So again, those who like to participate, any questions, comments, suggestions, b2bpsych@gmail.com. Again, as we always say, we'd like to thank WMUL as well as Marshall University for giving us this platform to talk about these issues. Again, anything that you've heard on the show, perspectives, ideas, anything you've heard are the sole perspectives and ideas of myself, Keelan Hinton, or Dr. Nate Chapman. We don't represent any entities that we do consulting or any work for. These are sole ideas and perspectives. And again, as we always lead out by saying, you know, make sure you're doing something that sets your soul on fire. This life is short. And make sure the people that you know love, that you love, make sure they know that you love them. Okay? Peace and blessings to everyone out there. We appreciate you tuning in. And Dr. Chapman, as always, will take us out.
All right. So I guess tonight I want to just spend a little bit of time talking to the recent breakup. Whether you're the breakee or the one that was broke up on. Now, breakups don't always have to be a bad thing. You know what I say? When one door closes, another door opens. Or, you know, when one window shuts, maybe there's another window. I don't know. But just because something ends doesn't mean that's actually going to be the end of who you are. There's always evolution. There's always growth. I understand about investing and the investing that you're doing and how much time you're putting into things. And no one goes in the relationship hoping that it's going to end, but sometimes they do end. And sometimes it's not necessarily because that person's a bad person or you're a bad, it just has to do with you are on separate journeys. Sometimes you can't discover if you're on the same journey until you go down that path. Sometimes it takes courage to go down that path. Is it risky? Yes. Does it mean that sometimes there's going to be wounds and injuries? Sure. But if you don't go through those things along the way, if you're not brave enough to be in the arena, then you're never going to get to the right part of path you want to be on. I think if you talk to anyone who's found that special one, they're going to tell you there have been some experiences that have led the way for that. And some of those experiences are going to be other people. They may not necessarily tell the partner they're with it. You know what? You know what helped shape and mold me for you? You can thank Jarius, or you can thank Nicole, whoever it is. But I'm guaranteeing you that there are some. You ask your boo right now, there's one person they can think that really helped them be better for you. So maybe you should thank yourself next time, or you should be thankful next time you experience a breakup, because maybe the end is really the beginning. All right, we'll talk to you later, my friends.
I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am.